I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Still so much important work to do, my friends. We're barely a year into this administration, not even a year into the administration. But I'm so proud of the accomplishments of the president and the entire administration. In just a year, we ended Joe Biden, Kamala Harris's border crisis. December marks 7 months straight of zero releases at the southern border. More than 2.5 million illegal immigrants have left the United States, the first time in over 50 years that we have had negative net migration, and it's just the start.
Vice President Vance at the Turning Point USA AmFest talking about what we've been able to do now with Joe Biden out of the way. Joe Biden, who threw our borders open, said everyone can come in. We're not going to bother vetting you. We don't care if you're coming here to make a new life. We're coming here to take a life of an American. And many of them did. By the way, the Department of Justice is now working to close a Democrat-created bureaucratic loophole that allowed legal and illegal immigrants to get a large quantity of taxpayer aid since 1997, despite a 1996 law limiting the aid to citizens. This was created by the Bill Clinton administration. And now we're retracting that. President Trump's Justice Department said we're wiping it out. This means that legal and illegal migrants will not be able to claim welfare, food, stamps, housing, or health care subsidies and many other aid programs. They will likely force the illegals back home. No one wants children or anyone to go without food and care. But when they come in and they start taking it from the mouths of your children, everyone's going to look to protect their own family, right? If you're not, you're not doing the best for your family. Oh, by the way, Vance was not mincing his words when he heard through a news outlet that some of the left were attacking his wife. His words, he said, anyone who attacks my wife, whether her name is Jen Psaki or anyone else, they can eat stuff. He does not mince his words. Here we are, hour number two, Larry Connors USA, December 22nd, 2025. And reminding you, with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You will leave this program with more knowledge than you have as we begin. I promise you that. And later this hour, Director of National Intel Tulsi Gabbard goes off on Islamist in trying to make sure you understand the difference between Islam and Muslim, and the difference between a peace-loving Muslim and a jihadist. And also we'll tell you about Johnny Carson and his list of banned guests, the folks he'd never wanted on his program, and even if they appeared once, never again. That'll be coming up later in this hour. Vance is talking about earlier about what we have done with the border. When Joe Biden said it was open to anyone, that was insane, absolutely insane, and dangerous for our nation. And J.D. Vance says we have restored sanity.
When you restore sanity at the border, it shows up everywhere else. Rent prices are dropping 4 months in a row, and more native-born Americans are working than ever before. Kamala Harris opened the border and destroyed the economy. The Trump administration gave you net negative migration and much more job creation. Real wages are finally growing. Inflation is half of what it was under Democrats. Gas prices are their lowest in years. And we have finally made it clear that in the United States, we believe in hard work and merit.
Hard work and merit. And that means you get the job and you qualify it, not because of your religion, not because of the color of your skin, but because you actually deserve to have the job and you can perform. And gas prices, that's a perfect place where you can look at and see immediately how it's affecting you and your family. There might be still some grocery items that are higher than what you want to pay, and maybe you choose to buy another brand or you just walk away and find a substitute. But we're never going to get there as we were with the Biden administration. Speaking about trying to turn things around, Trump has also made it clear that he wants to ban wind farms. He wants to put a stop on all of the construction off our offshore, primarily the East Coast, to stop offshore wind farms. And of course, the left is immediately claiming, oh my God, the sky's going to fall. We're going to be in the dark. Really? Because you don't have wind farms? And keep in mind how many on the left did not want a wind farm off their coastline. It just spoiled. It would destroy our view. Yeah, those around Martha's Vineyard, don't put the wind farms out here. You can put them anywhere else, but not out there where I can see them and it destroys my views. Well, Trump says we'll put a halt to all of them. Good. And are you aware, did you see this story, at what happened in San Francisco? This is as funny as you can get. We have a situation in San Francisco where they had blackouts. And the Waymo cars, the autonomous vehicles that drive without a driver, they all stopped at intersections because they apparently didn't have a traffic signal. They didn't know what to do. There were massive traffic jams. Cars came to a halt. If you were in it, sucks to be you. Tesla's Elon Musk is obviously enjoying this because his cars did not suffer that when they had the power outage over the weekend. The San Francisco Bay Area had a massive power outage, knocking out power to about 130,000 homes and businesses. And here you saw the Waymo self-driving cars just stopped in an intersection or anywhere. And he pointed out, Tesla's unaffected. Waymo said, well, we're doing what we can. And another case that has come out over the weekend at Turning Point USA, Nicki Minaj, the rapper, you may not know her that well, don't listen to her that fine, that's fine. I don't pay a lot of attention to it, but she did get my attention over the weekend because she was at Turning Point USA. And Erica Kirk, now serving as the head of Turning Point USA since the assassination of Charlie Kirk, was asking Nicki as to why are you now speaking out about politics?
So why now have you been involved with speaking about politics? What was kind of the turning point for you?
Yes. What was the turning point? Well, I just got tired of being pushed around. Yeah. Sometimes you just get tired of it, and then you realize, wait a minute, I have something inside of me that's stronger than what's out there. That's right. So when you've had enough, you realize, wait a minute, why do I even care about these people and what they think? Who are they? They don't even know who they are. So I'm not going to back down anymore.
Good.
I'm not going to back down ever again.
Good.
Amen.
Good. If Nicki Minaj, a megastar rapper, can come out and say, I'm done being pushed around just because I want to speak my mind, people want to shush me, that should be a rally call for anyone. You will not let the leftists cower you and back you into a corner. CBS 60 Minutes under fire again. Accused of spiking a story because of politics. And MSN Now, the network, is one of those leading the charge against the CBS legacy.
CBS News is delaying a previously scheduled 60 Minutes segment on the White House's use of the infamous El Salvador super prison, CECOT. The decision was abruptly announced last night in this short social media post. The final call to shelve the report, for now, reportedly came from newly installed CBS News editor-in-chief Barry Weiss. NBR reports Weiss refused to let the piece air without an on-the-record comment from the administration. 60 Minutes correspondent Sharon Alfonsi criticized the decision in an email to colleagues yesterday that was obtained by several news organizations. She said her team had reached out to the administration for comment several times and said the call to hold the story was quote, not an editorial decision. It is a political one. Weiss responded in a statement, writing in part, holding stories that aren't ready for whatever reason, that they lack sufficient context, say, or that they are missing critical voices, happens every day in every newsroom.
But if you're holding it simply because the target of the story or the subject of it does not want to respond and give any comment, well, we're going to wait. If you at least reached out and gave them not one but numerous opportunities to respond, and they don't want to respond, you run the story. And you simply say, we reached out and they did not respond. Everyone in the business knows that. You have seen that and heard it repeatedly from various news organizations. But the CBS News editor-in-chief, Barry Weiss, said she told producers Sunday afternoon, after pulling that controversial segment, the team did not do enough to get Trump administrations on the record, and the data presented paints, quote, an incongruent picture. Her decision causing uproar internally. As you heard, at least one correspondent, the one who worked on it, said this was politically motivated. The segment was to be dealing with the deportations that Trump ordered on Venezuelan immigrants to an El Salvadoran prison. Weiss argued the story leaves out comment and perspective from the administration. Well, if you don't have it, you don't have it. But you make it clear that you tried to reach it. Now, if you were ignoring and not looking for the other side, I would agree you cannot go to, quote, press for that. But they were doing that. When Barry Weiss is the executive director of CBS News, a news editor-in-chief, decides to spike the story simply because the Trump White House has not responded, that does smack of politics. It smacks of politics over and over again. You don't spike a story simply because of that. And there was more going on behind the scenes before they even reached Sunday for the story to air. Mika Brzezinski was alluding to it on MSN Now, and her husband, Joe Scarball, got into the story as well.
This story is promoted on Friday, and then it is spiked on Saturday because the White House decides they're not going to give a comment. That's never stopped an article before where you go, we reached out to the White House, they refuse to offer comment.
That line features in a number of the stories that I write. That is common practice. What is uncommon is the chronology here. There's been some really good media reporting, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, other places last night about this. I've talked to some people over at CBS, and they just say, this is not how this goes. This piece was done and ready. You know, it's often the administration doesn't have comment. This is something that was edited and promoted. The fact that video footage aired, that is so unusual they would then pull this down.
Yeah, they had footage on CBS promoting this for 60 minutes. They had the footage, they were promoting it, and then suddenly Barry Weiss says, spike it. In other words, kill the story. Why? We don't have any response from the Trump administration. If that's the way you're going to do that, then every news story would be killed because we're not going to respond, period. So you have to kill the story. No. That's not how it works. And in her email to colleagues, the 60 Minutes correspondent that was working the story said, our team did request responses to questions and our interviews with DHS, the White House, and the State Department. And she added, and I would echo this and applaud her remarks, government silence is not a statement, not a veto. I'm sorry, government silence is a statement, not a veto. Their refusal to be interviewed is a tactical maneuver designed to kill the story. Now, I don't know what the White House said. You know, if we don't give them a comment, they will be forced to kill it. Unless we find some communications between Barry Weiss and someone in the White House, and they say, hey, look, if we don't give a comment, will you kill the story? Yeah, because we don't have the full story. If that's true, I want that unveiled. And I want to know who agreed to that in the White House. The whole story was to show what happened to these Venezuelans put in this maximum security prison. But simply having the White House or whoever in that position said, we're having no comment, therefore your story is dead. That does not play. That is not journalism. And CBS 60 Minutes has already been facing a lot of heat, and in part from Trump, suing Leslie Stahl in 60 Minutes. Remember when they fabricated a lot of material? These guys can't win for losing, period. And if they're going to continue, and we were told when Barry Weiss came in, we're going to take a whole new look. We're going to go back to journalistic standards. Journalistic standards mean exactly that. Not that you're going to play politics. You're playing the game of news. And you really shouldn't be considered in playing it. You're dealing with it, and you're trying to inform the public, or you're not. That means you become an arm of the administration. I don't care how great you think the Trump administration is or how great I think it might be. Anytime it thinks it can use that kind of leverage to kill a story, to cancel it, I rebel. And so should you. If you're going to do it for anyone else, you should certainly do it in this case as well. This story should have aired. They're eventually going to end up airing it. Now, will they have a White House comment or not? They're going to have to reach a point that even without the comment, we're going to air it, as they should. But when they decided the other day, under Barry Weiss's decision, we don't have proper context. You were just lacking a response from the White House. Some are saying that Trump had publicly complained. He has publicly complained about 60 Minutes ever since Paramount was acquired by new leadership in August. And so we're saying that's why he didn't want it to run, and they decided we just won't respond. Not good enough. And I would tell Trump that directly. Just because you won't comment, that is not a reason for Barry Weiss 60 Minutes to take control and kill the story. And I don't fault Trump if they say they don't want to make a comment, so be it. I blame Barry Weiss, the editor-in-chief of 60 Minutes, for killing the story because they didn't have a response from Trump or the White House. Now, if they were failing to go after it and look for the balance, then I would blame them for doing that. But in this case, it looks like they did everything correctly. The story will come back, as it should. Coming up, our director of national intel, Tulsi Gabbard, about the threat of Islam. And we have a perfect example of what's happening in Europe. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, please don't take him just because you can.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Which issued a call to action to use American legal and political systems to implement Sharia law. This is already underway in places. This is already underway in places like Houston. This is not something that may possibly happen. It is already happening here within our borders. Patterson, New Jersey is proud to call themselves the first Muslim city. They are working to implement in their own governments these Islamic principles that are forced on people through the use of laws or violence. The bottom line is this: when we talk about the threat of Islamism, this political ideology, there is no such thing as individual freedom or liberty. As Charlie said over and over again, it is fundamentally incompatible with our nation's foundation of freedom. And at its core, when we understand that our freedom comes from God and no one else, we understand the seriousness of this Islamist ideology threat, because it means they deny that God is the one who has bestowed this right to freedom in every one of us.
That is Tulsi Gabbard at the Turning Point USA AmFest, talking about the threat of Islam, non-Muslim, but Islam. There is a clear difference. Many will want to label you as a xenophobic racist if you try to point that out. Inside the Muslim religion, yes, they have the Quran, but just like the Christian or Jewish religion, they have the same Bible, but folks interpret it differently and use it for different ways. The far right, radical right, the all white, radical white, and are anti anyone of color or different religion, that's not what I adhere to in the Bible, but you can find different quotes and so forth inside the Bible that would give them, oh, look, here it is in the Bible. I'm good. And that's what they're doing with Islam and Muslim religion. When we began to see our nation change like that, we should not be totally surprised, because as I pointed out to you numerous times, it is already happening across Europe. Europe and the face of Europe and the nations of Europe, they are changing not only their face, but their culture and everything else. And what do we get from the pushback? Well, I'll give you a perfect example. You know the shooting that took place a week plus ago in Australia. Two ISIS members built their creed on Islam, killing Jews who were attending a Hanukkah beach party. They were all unarmed, and these two, or more possibly, we think could have been more, that got away, but they showed up and just started shooting randomly into unarmed people. That was in Australia. And we saw that happen. And I told you the first reaction from Australia was, we need more gun law. We need more gun law. And they wanted to push a gun buyback, and they have done so, rather than looking at what they have created in their nation and allowing this to fester. These were ISIS members inside their nation. And they were going after Jews that day, but the next day it could be you. And in the meantime, the Australian Prime Minister said today his government will seek to further expand restrictions on so-called hate speech. Hate speech were the bullets flying through the air as the Jews were celebrating Hanukkah on that beach, on Bondi Beach, carried out by ISIS-inspired terrorists, 15 shot and killed. The father and son apparently received military training in the Philippines, had long been holding ties to ISIS-aligned groups. But the attitude of the Australian Prime Minister, we will seek to reach as broad an agreement as possible to implement stricter speech restrictions. The planned legislation will seek to counteract the unprecedented radicalism of young people in Australia. You know how you combat that? You show them a better way. But the Attorney General, who is going to be tasked with leading this legislative push, says there will likely be a new criminal offense created for inciting hatred. Just now? That should have been put in place long ago. Of course, you also have laws that you shall not kill anyone, right? They're not going to care about your laws. But this is giving lip service. Do they think this will help tap down more Islamic radicalism in Australia? They are poorly mistaken. That's not going to do it. And you look to Britain. An annual survey from the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism found that 61% of the Jews in Britain are now contemplating moving and getting out of Britain. Last year, 50%, now 61%. And why? Because they find that more and more cases where anti-Semitism is rising inside their nation, inside Britain. So they're going to leave their homeland. The survey, of course, comes after that Yom Kippur terrorist attack in Manchester back in October. And, of course, what we saw happen in Australia a couple weekends ago. A majority of Jews surveyed said they do not see a long-term future for themselves in the United Kingdom. 51% compared to 37% in 2024. The London Metropolitan Police and the Greater Manchester Police Force said, in the wake of the attack we had here and what we saw in Australia, we will arrest anyone who publicly chants the Islamic slogan, Globalize the Intifada, which refers to the armed fight of Palestinians against Israel and being expanded to Jews and supporters of the Jewish state worldwide. So apparently they're going to say anyone that starts shouting, Globalize the Intifada, they're going to arrest them. And what are we going to do in this country? We want to protect our free speech, even when we don't like it. But if it's inciting and causing terror, where are you going to draw the line? How are you going to do it? You can talk in all the lofty phrases you want, but it gets down to where exactly are you going to do it and how do you do it? Without violating our Constitution, without violating the person you hate, their rights to preach and say what they want. Oh, and then in the midst of all of this comes the most stupid thing I think I've seen today, and maybe for the week, and maybe for this year. Got to be big, right? It involves late-night talk show host Jimmy Kimmel. I have never watched him. I never intended to watch him. He does his program out of Hollywood, California, 5,000 miles from the U.K., but now he's been tapped by the BBC to deliver this year's alternative Christmas message on a local outlet, Channel 4, in Britain. The BBC notes Kimmel was reinstated a week after he was being removed for some talk he had about Charlie Kirk. And the full context of his address a week after his removal would talk about fascism. In fact, he's already stated, from a fascism perspective, this has been a really, really great year. And the BBC wants to know why their culture is changing and how they're aiding and abetting. There's a perfect example. And you're going to use Charlie Kimmel, according to the British network, you were using Kimmel to, quote, reflect on the past few months in a deeply personal and characteristically jovial address. They have been broadcasting an alternative holiday address to the monarch's message, which airs on BBC One, since 1993. I never paid attention before. I could care less what they do. But in this case, they're reaching out across the pond, as it were, to Jimmy Kimmel. We want you to deliver our alternative. Kimmel has told viewers, this has been a strange year, a hard year. We've had some lows, we've had some highs. For me, maybe more than any year in my life. And the other day while I was talking about this, he started crying in front of his audience. He's very good about doing that. Crocodile tears. Woe is me. Well, I put my millions in the bank and the rest of the people are starving. Woe is me because I can't do what I want, but you've got your own TV program and they continue to give you support. And now the British broadcasting system is going to give you another platform. For those in England and those living here who are from England, you're watching the demise of your nation. And this is going to add to it. This will be another nail in the coffin. In addition to more than 6 in 10 Jewish people in Britain saying, we got to leave here. It's not going to be safe, and there's no future for us. Coming up, the effort to stop Venezuelan oil. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw, Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, ShawRealtors.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com.
This is News Talk STL.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping on the door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping on the door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It is outrageous that with all the time they had to prepare, they have failed to release the full Epstein files.
The Trump administration continues to stonewall, continues to not provide us full transcripts, and clearly they don't have a real interest in transparency.
They're just simply willfully withholding the materials. I think the Judiciary Committee should do its real oversight.
Chairman Comer, what's your response to all of that?
Well, give me a break. Anytime I see Adam Schiff on there being outraged, it just makes me want to vomit in my mouth. But at the end of the day, where was the Democrat outrage over the 4 years of Merrick Garland being Attorney General and Joe Biden being president? I mean, this information could have been released decades ago.
That's an excellent point made by James Comer. The left is now crying out because they think they can use this against Trump and the right. But they cannot ignore the fact, and the fact exists, that the Democrats were in control and they had access to the Epstein files for years, and they did nothing. And yes, Bill Clinton was featured in some of the pictures that have been released, in one showing him in a hot tub. Doesn't say he's doing anything wrong. But then again, if they could show a picture of Trump in the midst of 10 to 12 beautiful women, their faces obviously blacked out, but obviously beautiful women, and they will use that to basically try to skewer Trump and tie him to Epstein, then we know why they did not want to get into any pictures that might involve Bill Clinton. I don't know what the real story is, but I think you're entitled to know. But it is true that when you get the left crying out all the time, you have to question, why are you so interested now? Documents were released, and there was a lot of outcry, even inside right-wing and center politics. Why are you redacting so much? Some of this redaction, you don't need to. There's no national security at stake. Why would you do that? And in one case, a picture of Donald Trump was, quote, redacted. They put it back and in turn covered the faces of the women around him. Nothing unusual. Everyone's fully dressed. But just because it was found in the Epstein files, that was something that folks wanted to dive into and say, that proves that Trump was involved. I don't know what it proves. It proves to me that he was surrounded by these beautiful women. That's all it proves. And the Deputy Attorney General, in talking about the Epstein files as to how they had come out and how they were basically pulled back when the complaints were they were over-redacted. Attorney General Pam Bondi said, bring them back. We'll look at them again. And then they started to unredact the redactions. That was a turn and a point. Unredact the redactions. But the Deputy Attorney General Blanche on NBC's Meet the Press said, back when the Epstein files were being held all these years, you didn't hear anything from the left.
To be clear, releasing the files is not what President Trump has ever had an issue with. When he calls this a hoax, he's talking about the fact that there's this narrative out there that the Department of Justice is somehow hiding or protecting information about him, which is completely false, as evidenced by the fact that the Epstein files existed for years and years and years, and you did not hear a peep out of a single Democrat for the past 4 years. And yet we're supposed to believe that, lo and behold, all of a sudden, out of the blue, Senator Schumer suddenly cares about the Epstein files. That's the hoax. And that's the hoax that has existed for months and months and months. This isn't about whether we would release or not release the Epstein files. As a general matter, we do not release the files of criminal investigations and prosecutions. Yeah. There's laws around that. There's laws that protect victims, that protect the innocent. So we're doing something here that is more transparent than we've done in any criminal investigation in the history of this country. Don't forget that.
But they will. Not only forget it, they will ignore it. They will walk right past it. And they will walk past the history that the Democrats had all this in their hands, and they did nothing during the Biden years. When he had control of the AG, the FBI, and everything else, they knew the Epstein files were there. They had, and they did not dig into them. They did nothing with them. Now, does that mean that Biden was involved in some fashion? I can't say that. But when I hear you speaking out the other side of your mouth, it raises a question. It raises a question. And here comes Eric Swalwell, you know, fresh from his romance some years ago now, but I'm not going to let it go, with the bang, bang, the Chinese spy.
What do you say to critics who think that the release so far is cherry-picked or inconsequential?
I don't know the full extent to Donald Trump's involvement with Jeffrey Epstein. Nobody other than Donald Trump knows the answer to that, but he is sure acting like somebody who doesn't want you to know the answer to that. Laura, and as you know, as a federal prosecutor, judges instruct juries every day that a witness or defendant's efforts to conceal evidence or destroy evidence can be used to infer they did something wrong. So I don't know why he would act so guilty if he didn't do anything wrong. But the American people at least deserve to know how close their president was to the most notorious child sex trafficker in American history.
Can the Department of Justice face any real meaningful consequences for not fully complying with the, and the name says it all, the Epstein Files Transparency Act?
The bottom line is this. For the last year, Democrats have asked Donald Trump to release the Epstein files. Instead, all he's done is release George Santos. That's preposterous, and he should just be forthcoming with the American people.
Eric Swalwell has no claim to the high moral ground. He has none. And when he was bedding down a Chinese spy, and I'm sure the pillow talk had more than just casual conversation, because she was a Chinese communist spy. She latched onto him when he was in the city council, then a mayor. She saw a rising star, and sure enough, he ends up in Congress, and Pelosi appoints him to a position on the Intel Committee. Perfect for the Chinese spy. And you know she made big points back in China. And here's this man standing there and saying, well, he's acting like he's got something to hide, so that's a big issue. Eric Swalwell, look in the mirror. We still don't know all your background involvement and what you did or didn't do, because the left was very good at covering it up for you. Speaking of cover-up, state officials are saying that Democrat Governor Tim Walz, Minnesota, continues to send millions in welfare funding to Somalia charity, even after the group's chairman has been charged in a $9 million fraud case. They're still dumping money into the charity in the hands of the guy. The chair of the Somalia Children's Charity arrested, charged in the fraud case back in 2023. But despite the rest of the board chairman, state officials continued sending $600,000 payments to the group he was overseeing. And they've been doing that since 2023. There was no pause nor even an investigation, despite the chairman being arrested. You see how this scam works? You get inside, you just keep moving. They turn on the light, you scurry under the nearest cover you can. And then when they go away, you come back out. Or in this case, they didn't go away. They came out anyway. No one's raising a question. I'd mentioned earlier, we have the Coast Guard still looking to take over another sanctioned oil tanker near Venezuelan waters. They say this tanker is flying under a false flag and under a judicial seizure order. The feds, the U.S. will take the ship and take control of it. Of course, those on the left and those favoring Venezuela saying, you can't do that. Yes, we can. We have a blockade around Venezuela, and we should enforce it. If we're going to have a blockade, we're not going to enforce it. We're not going to enforce our sanctions. There's no sense you mentioning that you even have them. And I have to tell you, there's some Republicans that are stepping over the line on this one, as far as I'm concerned, questioning, why are we doing this? We should not be into this. It might lead us into war. We're not looking to have war with Venezuela, but we are looking to stop it getting monies from illicit sources that we said you cannot use, and for that money then going to other nations that are our enemies. In the meantime, we continue to have our tariffs in place. And for everyone who thought the tariffs would destroy our economy, keep this in mind. It hasn't happened, and I don't see it's going to happen. In fact, According to the National Economic Council Director Hassett, his facts say this is not just a pipe dream. This is a good case of facts.
I think that most of the tariffs that we've passed this year have proven their mettle. We've got still high growth, which people said we couldn't if we had tariffs. We have a reduction in the deficit, reduction in the trade deficit. Imports from China are the lowest they've been since China entered the WTO. So there's a lot of success to crow about in the tariff space. But there are also things that we're hearing when we talk to people like trading partners and companies that trade a lot in the U.S. There are also things that maybe could be adjusted. You saw that we decided to exempt coffee, for example, because we don't make a lot of coffee in the U.S.
And coffee prices are up.
And I think that if there's something that's not made in the U.S. at all, that there's an appetite, and Jameson Greer is leading the effort to study these matters, that there's an appetite to exempt things if they're really not meant to be made in the U.S. because of, you know, like climate or things like that.
So in other words, the tariffs are still doing great for our economy. But, of course, the left has to have something to bark about. I say again, you just look at your gas prices. That is the biggest tell right there as to where we are right now. And remember when they were lower under Joe Biden? They were not lower. But when they were lower than what he had at one point is because he was robbing our strategic petroleum reserve, dumping it across the nation to make those on trips, vacation, holidays. Oh, I can buy gas now. It's cheaper. No, you were buying up our oil from our strategic reserve because Joe Biden filled the market and the pumps with it. Trump has been active on refilling our strategic reserve. And what we're having happen now, the gas prices you're seeing, in part due because we have seen a switch to winter fuel, which always costs less to produce, but also because we are making it better and we continue to go once again and regain our title as a major exporter of oil. Johnny Carson, there's a new book out titled Love Johnny Carson, written by a guy that was a big fan of Johnny Carson. And apparently, one of them also a producer for 22 years. And he confirmed the Tonight Show had a ban list. They would not allow some on it. Supposedly, Burt Reynolds and Rich Little both claimed to have seen a hard copy with more than 30 names on it. Well, apparently the names being released in this book include, this is one is somewhat of a surprise, Jay Leno, who ended up replacing him. Jay Leno, the book says Leno was banned after the audience laughs were too light. In other words, he wasn't getting that much of a hit. He debuted with his Tonight Show in March 1977 and was a smash hit, so much that he became a regular on the show. But things did go wrong in 78 when the audience laughs were so light that Johnny decided don't invite him back. And another one, Ellen DeGeneres. She made history as the first ever female comedian to ever be called over to the couch by Johnny Carson when she made her appearance in November 1986. She did return to the show two more times and then upset Carson, getting banned for the rest of his tenure serving as host. Apparently she had been told, do not make a certain joke during her third appearance, but she did it anyway. And right after the show, she got chastised in front of everyone. One of the producers pointing to her said, I told you not to use that material. She looked embarrassed, and he said, you won't be back again. And indeed, she was not. What was the joke? You really want to know? I think the joke was DeGeneres herself. I don't see it pointed out exactly as to what she said. I could care less. William Shatner also, not asked back after he broke three Tonight Show rules in 1983. Apparently, he was unaware of the unwritten rules and broke three of them and turned his back on the host, Buddy Hackett, at one point and disregarded the Tonight Rule that's okay to mention your name, your non-NBC TV series, but not the network it aired on. Apparently, he did that as well. So he was not invited back. Carl Sagan also got booted. Orson Welles got booted from The Tonight Show. Jerry Lewis, what did he do? He'd been on more than 80 times, but then had a disagreement with a crew member, and that crew member complained to Carson, and Carson made a quick decision. You're out, you're off the program. Steve Allen also got knocked off the program. When Carson said, not anymore on my program, that was the death knell for anyone wanting to be on The Tonight Show. I don't care if you've been on 80 times like Jerry Lewis, or you got maybe called up once or twice, no more. It's a lesson to be learned. That book might generate a lot more publicity once it's released. As always, I thank you for joining us. And remember our story behind the story tomorrow, Paul Harvey, and one particular story he always told at Christmas. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.